Let us pray. Compassionate God, who sent Jesus Christ to deliver us from all manner of injustices and inequalities, create in us new hearts and enlarged visions to see the image of God in every person, regardless of background, race, and ethnicity. May we be generous in our love of others as we work towards ending misunderstanding, racism, and injustice, creating communities of human flourishing through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. This is a collect appointed or approved for Black History Month from the Church of England. On this last Sunday after the Epiphany, as we approach the season of Lent, and as we celebrate Black History Month, World Mission Sunday, and as I prepare to end my ministry here with you all, I find hope in our scripture today. I find hope and resiliency in the relationship presented to us in the Old Testament reading from 2 Kings between Elijah and I'm going to mess it up the whole time, so Elijah and Elisha, okay? So I'm going to keep saying it so that it'll just like kind of, I can get it, but if I mess it up, you will, at the end, we're going to land together on this one, okay? So Elijah and Elisha. I am reminded of the creation story in Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, and we witness an epiphany in Mark's version of the transfiguration story, which you'll remember, as I was preparing, I thought, didn't we just have the transfiguration feast? That's since August. It's been a while, but it is always read on the last Sunday after the epiphany. So here we have Elisha and Elijah getting ready for a significant shift. This event will change the course of the story for both of them. The Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven. And in the following verses that we get, we learn a lot from both characters. And most importantly, I think what scripture here is reminding us is that in this transitory life, God calls us to be in relationship with others. These specific verses call us to reflect on how we observe and honor everything that is before us. Yes, there is more for us when we step out of these verses and we look at the story of both characters, right? Recently, we read a little bit about Elijah before when he felt alone, when he prayed for the Lord to take his life. We, in that, possibly identify or relate to Elijah on an overall idea that God calls us all, even when we feel inadequate, right? Or even when we feel sad, or even when we feel lonely. We have this example of even this prophet praying for God to take his life after everything, and when he got noticed that Jezebel was looking for him. And so there's this bigger picture for us to see, but in these verses here, Elijah is with Elisha, his successor. Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you? The company of prophets asked. And Elisha said, yes, I know. Keep silent. Repeating this phrase in our lesson a few times today. And though during the first reading of this, I thought, maybe Elisha didn't want to be reminded of what was in front of him, right? Like, I mean, he knew what was happening, right? They're moving from place to place, and he knows that the Lord has come for Elijah. Who likes to be reminded of the bad things that happen to us, right? And then I started thinking a little bit more about it, and I thought maybe there was resistance to this change. Elisha knew it had to be this way, and he used this opportunity to show us that he trusted God and Elijah. And having been able to ask for anything, he asked to receive double of that spirit that filled Elijah. Like, give me some of what you have, because it has proven to carry us through even amidst all the uncertainty. I mean, I could think of a few things I would have asked for, but you know, here Elijah's love of God filled Elisha with this desire to receive the same thing. And it has me wondering, How do we apply this to our lives? How do we live in a way that tells the world, like Elisha, give me some of what they're having? How do we make what is happening inside these doors here? Because I see it happening when we make sandwiches for others, when we gather weekly to pray, when we are angered by injustice, when we are responding to the needs of our immediate community. I see it. How do we get others to say, give me that curiosity, give me that hope, that faith? How can we be intentional about making this love accessible to all? Again, Scripture calls us to be critical thinkers, to interpret, to ask questions, to be aware of our world today. This month is Black History Month, and I wonder how we can intentionally learn from our Black siblings. How do we tell their stories, or better yet, how do we get out of the way and let them tell their stories for themselves, so that then we can continue to educate ourselves about the historical experiences of African Americans, not only in this country, but in this church. Joe McDaniel, who is a part of the executive council and some of the polity of the church, you can Google it if you're interested, and who serves also on as a co-chair for the Episcopal Diocese of the Central Gulf Coast Commission on Racial Justice and Reconciliation, and the convener of the Deputies of Color, who will be serving to our 81st General Convention this summer, calls the Episcopal Church to celebrate Black History Month because it is an opportunity to promote social justice, engage in reflection and education, confront the church's history of racism, inspire and empower African American members, and show solidarity with the wider Black community. And so I encourage you to continue learning, to continue supporting Black voices, reading Black theologians. Reverend Hannah mentioned last week Absalom Jones, the first Episcopal priest, Polly Murray. But did you know that our diocese also has a Polly Murray scholarship reception? And it's going to be here in Houston at Christ Church Cathedral in a few weeks. And this event, what it does is it raises money for Black and other students of color to attend seminary in preparation for priesthood in our diocese. And in my opinion and in my experience, it alleviates at least this one stressor in a still very white academic institution. In the Transfiguration story, we witness the change that is to come. We get this full story. Jesus' clothes became dazzling white, and this gospel's author, whom we think is Mark, goes on to magnify this by saying that no one on earth could bleach them. In just these few verses, Jesus is revealed, called, and makes it known that the Son of Man is to rise from the dead. This gospel calls us to our own transformation through Jesus. But we can also perhaps identify with the disciples who were just confused back then, maybe as we feel today, by what they had just witnessed. Peter saying, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Like, yes, it's good. Not asking, is it good? Like, Peter knows it's good. Like, Lord, we are good up here. Let's stay up here. It's perfect up here, right? I mean, in the ideal world, yeah, right? Let's stay here. But the truth is, let's stay here because we are scared. We are terrified about what is happening and what we just witnessed and what that also means, right? Yet afraid, Jesus still came down the mountain with them, not ahead of them, not behind them, or saying, hey, you know what, you can stay here, Peter. They came down the mountain. A small detail that today calls us to action and reminds us that we are all called to this work. And in the Episcopal Church today, the last Sunday after the Feast of the Epiphany or Epiphany Tide, it is designated as World Mission Sunday. And it's a time when the church comes together to focus on the global impact of our call to seek and serve Christ in all persons, as we are all called to do in our baptismal covenant. Now, you can read the whole sermon online. You can just Google World Mission Sunday Episcopal Church or something along the lines of that, and it'll come up and you'll hear the whole thing. But I just wanted to pull a few things from that sermon today. And the sermon is by the Reverend Fadi Diab, rector of St. Andrew's Church in Ramallah and St. Peter's Church in Birzeit in the West Bank. And he challenges us to preach what Jesus did when he was transfigured, which is to preach God's liberating love and mercy for all. Reverend Fadi Diab challenges the church to engage, not retreat, when it comes to what seems like an endless night in the Holy Land. Calls us to help transform pain into hope and oppression into liberation, rather than constructing shelters of excuses, of safety, of tranquility, and of glory. The church is called to step into the sometimes dark valleys of our neighborhoods, nations, and of our world. The church's identity is entangled with her mission to be an agent of liberation and freedom in context of oppressive powers. Trinity, as I finish my time with you all, my prayer is that you will continue this good work, that you will continue to love and serve all. I will always thank God for you. And I want to end with just reminding you what Archbishop Oscar Romero said, one of my favorite of his quotes. A church that does not provoke any crisis, preach a gospel that does not unsettle, proclaim a work of God that does not get under anyone's skin, or a word of God that does not touch the real sin of the society in which it is being proclaimed. What kind of gospel is that? Keep doing God's work. And may God bless you today and always. Amen.